Good evening, world. This is the podcast Sassafras, and your host, S. Laura Cattell. Goodness, welcome back. We are about halfway through Infinite Possibilities from Mr. Mike Dooley. And yesterday, we went over how the game is rigged against us, so far as the universe is concerned. And before we get any further today, I wanted to do a quick recap of some of the standout verses from yesterday, what we went over yesterday. And that was starting with this. And he makes it a very important point to italicize this entire passage. In all our affairs, the universe, while infinitely loving and caring, cannot and will not trump your own abilities, interfere with your manifestations, or otherwise intervene as your life unfolds. And to properly explain this, he uses the analogy of sending your 15-year-old off to camp so that they might learn some independence, social skills, and responsibility. However, you can't learn independence if you are not allowed to be independent. Thus, it cannot be an effective adventure if only a few days into the program, the parent shows up at camp behind the scenes and begins meddling in the child's affair to ensure, quote-unquote, success. Okay? Not to mention, as we get farther down on that same passage, that if the universe were to intervene even once, even for the barest breath of a second, that means you do not have total control over your life and your reality. Does that make sense? You have total control over your life and your reality, whether you manifest things that make your life go great or manifest things that make your life not so great. It's your freedom to choose what you are going to manifest, your freedom to think, your freedom to feel. Okay. And I love this particular passage, so I'm going to read it again in its entirety. You could say we are loved so much that no matter how scarred, scared, bruised, and battered we become, the system has been set up in such a way, with so much love, that we cannot hurt our eternal spiritual selves. The game is rigged in our favor. And so we left off yesterday at surviving is so last year, right? The idea behind that being we didn't come here to just survive, we came here to thrive. Alright. So before we get any further, my shout out to the restaurant industry, all my guys and gals out there in Foodland. Thank you for all you do, all you've done. Thank you for all you continue to do. And if you are feeling overwhelmed and stressed out, please don't do something you can't take back. Go for a walk, take a shower, play some video games, I don't care what, just do something before you do something you can't take back. Don't quit. Don't quit. Okay, so, surviving is so last year. It gets even better. On this emerald in space, having created the props, placed the planets, and chosen your birth, all for the purpose of thriving, you can know that the stage is set for exactly that. Oh, excuse me. There goes. You can rest assured that you are the perfect person to have all that you dream of having, that you were custom built for the possibilities that you alone dream of exploring, that whatever you need to perform, succeed, and find happiness is already in you. Of course, thriving has different meanings for everyone. To one, it could mean self-love. To another, it might mean accumulating material abundance. And to a third, it might mean both. But you can rest assured that whatever it means to you, you have what it takes Haven't you always found that you smile more than you frown? You laugh more than you cry? You've had friends more than you've been entirely alone? You've had money more than you've been flat broke? You've been gradually waking up to truth, rather than sliding into an abyss of deeper and deeper mysteries. And you've enjoyed health far more than you've suffered sickness. We're all naturally and automatically inclined to thrive in every area of our lives. And since the universe and our physical lives mirror this inclination, conspiring on our behalf, as our lives unfold, it's as if we are seemingly pushed on to greatness. It's just that we've slowed ourselves down a bit, being the spiritual infants that we are, because whenever it's come to creating change in our lives, not knowing any better, we've typically approached it by focusing excessively on what we don't like and what we don't have, instead of focusing on our dreams. Thriving, not surviving, is our default setting. Just look at our modern civilization's commerce, technology, and life expectancies. While there have been failings, you have to agree that in spite of our deep spiritual naivety, we've still blown the lid clear off surviving. You didn't come here to survive. You came here because you wanted it all, exactly as you define all, and that's what you're going to get. Because you've never likely been told the truth, this may seem outlandish and fairy tale-like. Armed with the truth, however, you're free. Life is easy. It's always been easy. And above all, life's mechanics are knowable. You needn't go forth in mystery, confusion, and self-doubt. These are just power robbers. Knowing now that your own inclinations are toward happiness and fulfillment, that this is what you are built for, that this is what the stage is set for, and that the entire universe is in on the game, can you imagine the brand new possibilities that suddenly lie before you? Okay. Hold up. I'm not going to go carte blanche on that one. You are free. Life is easy if you understand how to make life easy. It glosses over that sometimes. Life is easy if you know how to make life easy, if you understand the principles in this. Otherwise, you're going to just regurgitate the same things that you don't like about your life because you don't know what it takes to change it. And I was just writing about this earlier, because this is what we've been going over, is, oh darn it, I just lost it. Oh, it's been a day. It's been a day. I wouldn't say, however, that thriving and not surviving is our default setting. One need only look at, you know, places around the world where kids are sleeping in garbage piles. I wouldn't necessarily call that thriving. Oh, dreams. That's what I was going to go over. Knowing that now that your own inclinations are toward happiness and fulfillment, this is what you're built for, this is what the stage is set for. Your dreams are for you, to make you happy, not to punish you. We went over that earlier in the book. Right? But so many people are afraid of going after their dreams because they're afraid of being judged by others. The uncomfortable reality is, You have to become okay with being not liked by people. Because you being you, just you being you, is going to piss off some people. You need to get to a point where that's okay. Because once you do, they can't hurt you. Their words don't mean a thing, they don't matter. Okay? That's a point that you need to get to inside. Alright, so moving on. Prayer. I am not a big proponent of using the word prayer. It's like using the word God, in that it has so many connotations, meaning vastly different things to different people. I dislike the term because it usually implies that the one doing the praying is powerless and beholden to powers, or to a God outside themselves, who picks and chooses whom he will help and when. But I love prayer's implication that we are not alone and that we are being heard. You are heard by this very same universe, by every atom and molecule, and by every entity that could possibly render you assistance. Whether you are thinking, speaking, or living, the universe takes note, sees your true intentions, follows your actions, and knows all. You are never alone. Coincidentally, you can say a prayer to your higher consciousness, as it were, or to the universe at large, and because you are listening to yourself as you speak or as you think, you are truly, in fact, connecting to the universe through the link that is you. You are hearing yourself, and the energy that connects you to everyone else, present within yourself, also hears yourself, and then takes your prayer, and then goes out amongst its entire network of every other connected living thing. So yes, prayer does have many connotations, but within the context of what a prayer is supposed to do, it's still very much effective, even if you don't believe in an external God that you are to pray to, rather than an all-inclusive universe, you can still pray. And those prayers can still be heard, as it were, and answered. I hope it made sense. Okay, delegation. When I first began discovering the kind of material that I've been sharing here, I used to feel really alone. Not because others didn't think like this, though few did. But because, when these concepts were blended with my old-school thinking, the idea of creating my own reality was overwhelming. And although I immediately grasped that it was true, I heard myself thinking and feeling, gosh, how the heck do I make my own reality? How do I become aware of all my beliefs and thoughts? If I make my own reality, then that means I must do it alone. And what an enormous responsibility! All those assertions were, and are, absolutely correct. It's a humongous job, and we do have total responsibility. But we are permitted to delegate, and we can delegate as much as we like. In fact, delegation is absolutely mandatory in order to get anything done in time and space. Just as the pilot of a jumbo jet has total control and responsibility for the plane and her passengers' welfare, she is required to delegate virtually everything that's necessary to make the plane fly properly. She might turn the yoke, the control column, or the rudder and flick a few switches to give the plane direction, but she didn't invent aviation or the commercial flying processes. She didn't help build and test the plane and its millions of nuts and bolts and pieces. She didn't orchestrate the formation of the company that bought the plane and operates the airline. She didn't train and hire the ticketing agents and the flight attendants. And she didn't build the runways or the control tower. The pilot does virtually nothing beyond showing up several hours prior to the flight for pre-departure procedures, hopping into the cockpit, powering the thing up, and aiming. And that's all you have to do to begin living the life you dream of living. Just power up your thinking, aim, which implies action, albeit minimal compared to what will be done for you, and delegate the rest to the universe, or your greater self, and the principles that hold time and space together, having faith, there's that word again, having faith that they will perform flawlessly. Faith being a belief that something is going to happen, or that something will, something is there that will aid in the happening of something. So faith is very much a belief. So delegation, all right? He makes a good point. We're all interconnected in such a complex way that we can't possibly untangle each other. Okay? The pilot of the plane does not build the plane, did not create aviation. He just learned off the backs of others. He doesn't have to fuel the plane, doesn't have to load the plane, doesn't have to check the tickets for the people on the plane, doesn't have to see to their hospitality while they're on the plane. All right. Doesn't have to buy the plane, doesn't have to create the plane. Doesn't have to know any of the computational algorithms that went into programming the plane. Just pilots the plane. In and of itself, that only takes a few procedures, a little bit of knowledge, you know, a couple of years and some flight school, but it's a vast difference between knowing just that and then knowing all of the other things that go into that, to include the invention of aviation itself. Okay? So you just need to find an end result, point yourself in the direction of where you're going, and then go. Having faith that your greater self and the universe and the principles that hold time and space together will perform flawlessly. Reaching the tipping point. Our responsibilities are indeed paltry compared to what will effortlessly be done for us. Yet, nevertheless, taking some action, consistent action, is of paramount importance. Again, it's not so much because of what you might achieve, but because taking action is how we put ourselves in a place of receivership of life's magic. The instant you think new thoughts, the entire mechanism of the universe is thrown into motion. Immediately, players and circumstances are arranged and rearranged to create the sequence of events necessary to bring about your dream. Then, as you physically move with your dreams, there will follow life's so-called accidents, coincidences, and serendipities, deliberately calculated to predispose you to the right people at the right time with the right ideas. You'll also be infused with precisely the right epiphanies, bright ideas, and creativity necessary to pull off your manifestation. Yet if you are not physically living your life out in the world, at least moving in the general direction of your dreams, there simply cannot be such serendipities and, quote-unquote, lucky breaks. Simply doing much of what you already do, and what your peers who know nothing of life's workings do, may even be enough when coupled with an awareness of how your thoughts become things. But to exponentially increase the universe's chances of reaching you suddenly and surely, do a few extra things. Act with faith, and act as if, knocking on a few doors and turning over a few new stones. Again, when such simple steps are taken consistently, with the knowledge of how they can and will be exploited by the universe, it's as if a tipping point is simultaneously reached, and the subsequent results can and will be staggering and swift. Okay, so we went over this before. This is just a recap. Alright, token deeds, right? If you don't leave the house, the universe can't reach you. It's not going to drop the lottery ticket made out to you on your doorstep, right? You have to go out and do things outside of your house for the universe to be able to reach you. Okay? Even if you just do a couple extra things, alright? You want a couple extra things? How about when you are going home at night? You turn left instead of turning right somewhere, and you just follow where that goes for a few minutes, and then use the GPS to get back home after a little while. It cost you a little bit in gas, you found something new on your route, and you open yourself up to the universe, saying, I'm open to seeing and trying new things, and to experiencing the unknown. That's as simple as it needs to be. Okay? Or switching it up in the morning, and you make yourself a bowl of fruit instead of a bowl of cereal. Or instead of watching TV tonight, you pick out a book that you've been meaning to read and actually sit down and read. Okay? Token things, small things, they don't need to be big. You just need to do something that's outside your normal, repeated activity. The habits that you've gotten into. If you want a new result, if you want a different result than the life that you're currently living now, you have to start doing different things than what you are currently doing now. Okay? And we go into the next little section. Thoughts that stretch you, rather pointedly, and then we will stop there for today. So, it's natural to become overwhelmed when you first begin to truly understand your power and responsibility. But when you also begin to understand that you have a loving system, powerful principles, and an aware universe at your beck and call, it becomes a much less daunting task. Then the challenge becomes realizing just how much you can and should leave to the universe. At first, this may seem pretty straightforward, asking and then having faith. But what you won't realize is that your initial requests are tainted with limited perspectives and old-school logic. Happily, once you see this, you can begin recognizing how much more you can ask for and expect from this magical universe we live in. As an analogy, think back to when you were a kid and you were asked what you would wish for if you could wish for any one thing. It used to be a tortuous exercise because it seemed that whatever you picked would mean you couldn't have any of the other things you dreamed of. But then it dawned on you one day that the thing to wish for is to be granted more wishes. Then you could just keep on wishing and wishing. This is how the universe works. You can actually ask for a lot more than you might initially suspect. If you don't think you can ask for help, however, or if you think you can only ask for modest, selfless requests, and that you really shouldn't overdo it, well then that's all you're going to get. Think broader. Let your imagination go wild when asking for things. Don't ask for enlightenment and then think that you must go to a solitary hilltop to practice receiving it. Ask that enlightenment come to you effortlessly, while listening to your favorite music. Or driving home from work. In addition, don't just ask for wealth and abundance and then think you must bust your behind to do your part. Ask that it comes to you quickly, honorably, and easily. Don't just ask for a new friend so that you can then have someone who understands you. Ask for parties, celebrations, fun, and laughter. Don't just ask for a new job. Ask for a career that thrills and challenges you every single day, or one that makes a huge difference in the world. Don't ask to make a difference and then think you have to begin making personal sacrifices to do it. Ask that it be a rip-roaring blast, the most fun you've ever had. Most people have no idea how many limitations they automatically attach to even the simplest of their desires. Remember, you are not alone. You have at your disposal a living, loving universe that's deeply tuned into you, that can and must be delegated to. And by understanding its presence and having a renewed faith in its magic, You can effortlessly begin commanding the elements to do your bidding. Oops. Did you just register what I just said? It's easy to just say, But I just said you have to have faith in its magic. Do you now have faith in its magic? Do you now have faith in the unseen? Are you consciously aware that you don't have to figure out the hows or do anything alone? Well, starting today, if you can begin incorporating this kind of thinking into everything you do, welcome to the party! And we will stop there for today. Okay. It really is interesting when you're asked to do something complex and everyone's personal perspectives of where they sit inside reality starts showing through. Okay? He makes a very aggrandized point. Don't just ask for wealth and abundance and think you have to bust your behind. Ask that it comes to you quickly, honorably, and easily. Alright. That you think it needs to come at the end of struggle or at the end of long working hours, that's a limiting belief. Okay? Don't just ask for a new job, ask for a career that thrills you. And of course, this gets back to, you know, you can extrapolate those out as much as you want to, but this goes back to really figuring out what it is that you want. And then realize how small are you playing in compared to what it is that you're asking for. Are you stopping at only a couple hundred thousand dollars instead of a couple of million? If so, why? Is it because you truly only want that much? Or maybe you don't think you deserve the millions? Or would do well with the millions? Or you don't really know what to do with the millions? Do you see? Instead of asking for a job, ask for a career that thrills. How many of you have been stuck on just hoping for that, you know, next pay raise, or when I'm going to leave here, well, I'm going to get a better job over there and it's going to pay me slightly better. You know, better benefits package. And then you're stuck doing the same routines again every single day, getting up and slowly coming to hate the job that you go to work to do. Don't lie. You know I'm right. Alright. Just keep that in mind. Keep that in mind. Figure out what it is you really, really want. Sad as it is, that seems to be like one of the most difficult things for people to figure out, is to figure out what it is they actually really want. Alright, so go ahead and get in a little wiggle and do a little stretch, and we will do our 2-minute brain break. Take a nice, slow, deep breath in. And let it back out.
just let your awareness settle into the space. And I wonder if you can visualize, bring to mind a picture. That one place you've always wanted to go on vacation. Really, really color it up as best you can. Really get detailed. Where are you going? What are you doing? Are you taking in the sights, or are you lounging on the beach with a big cold drink in your hand? Go ahead and get as detailed as you can. Who are you bringing with you? Are you going by yourself? Are you bringing your family? What kind of rooms were you dreaming of staying in? What kind of amenities does the hotel have? What kind of sights are you excited to go see? Stay here in this perfect vacation. And when you're ready, open your eyes. That was fortuitous timing. Alright, guys. I hope this is giving you better insights onto the mechanics of manifestation than you did before. Why it works, why it doesn't work, what you can do to restart and help yourself get better at it. It's a skill, just like anything else. Not to manifest itself, but to learn how to manifest what you want rather than what you don't want. Really what it ends up being is just becoming aware and then becoming self-directing. And that takes a real touch of discipline right there. But it's so worth the effort. I will see you guys back here tomorrow. Where was I? Alright. With getting grounded in your power. And it will segue into your universal bank account. Bank account. Everyone's favorite hot button topic. Bank accounts and how to make it bigger. Have a fantastic rest of your evening, guys. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for listening. Thank you for participating. This is the podcast Sassafras. Good night.